The Mike Lupica Podcast.
We are back now with the great Mike Lupica. He's one of the country's
most prominent
sports
columnists. Mike Lupica has covered just about every sport.
Candid interviews with legends he calls friends.
I was talking to Jordan about Woods after the basketball game the other night. Everybody in sports to be the next this guy, the next this guy. And Michael said, no, he's the first Tiger.
In your face questions.
How much of a dope is he?
Compelling.
A $1 billion industry, the biggest we've ever had in sports in this country, often comes down to a flip of the coin.
This is the Mike Lupica Podcast. Here's Mike Lupica.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Mike Lupica Podcast today. We are excited to be joined by Jordan Schultz. He's the co-host of the Pull-Up Pod with Portland Trailblazers guard CJ McCollum. He's a correspondent on the ESPN Plus show Boardroom. He does a show called The Daily Wager for ESPN. He is a rising star in our business, especially in the world of the NBA. And he's going to discuss everything that we're watching, everything he thinks is going to happen in the NBA this summer. But first, let me tell you about Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me, because if it doesn't confuse me, it's not going to confuse you. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company, of course, is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, damn it, I'm out of time. Welcome back to the Mike Lupica Podcast. We are joined today by one of the most talented young guys in the business, one of our favorite recurring guests, Jordan Schultz. He does the Pull-Up Pod with that loser, CJ McCut. No, I'm only kidding. From the Portland Trailblazers. He's now a correspondent for ESPN, The Daily Wager. He joins us today after the Warriors have swept a team, and I am talking to a child of the great Northwest in Jordan Schultz. Man, oh man, Jordan, we'll start with this, because the Trailblazers, even though they got swept, are going to walk away from this thing with big regrets.
Oh, no question. This was their opportunity, and how dare you disrespect CJ? No, I understand why Blazers fans are upset, because what better opportunity are they going to have than being in the Western Conference Finals, and playing a Warriors team sans KD, obviously no Iguodala, no Cousins. You know, they were right there in three of the four games, Mike. They had leads of 17, 17, and 18. And I would say, to your point about what we just said earlier before we started recording, Steph said last night, this is what being here has given us.
We're talking to my pal Jordan Schultz on the Mike Lubega Podcast. You know, I've been talking about this with Mitch and Bob all week on the Sports Reporters Podcast. The Blazers showed me something by not dumping a great coach in Terry Stotts after they got swept by the Pelicans last year. Okay. And they, you know, the what ifs for them will be if Lillard had been in perfect health. But, you know, I never get obsessed with that, Jordan, because everybody's dinged up in some form or fashion, except apparently for Steph Curry at this time of year. But they were such a good story, and for it to end this way, I'm just wondering, what do you think the attitude and reaction is going to be in Blazer Nation?
Well, I think there'll be two different points of view. One is this was the opportunity of a lifetime because of what we just said, and then the other one is that, well, we have our young core of stars. We have CJ, we have Dame, we have Nurkic, who will be healthy next year, who's in, you know, just entering his mid-20s. And we have a coach, Terry Stotts, who is very good, offensive-minded. And you can make the argument that given their youth and given the fact that Rodney Hood played so well, we'll have to see what happens with him in free agency. But you could say that, well, Portland is just one wing away, or Portland is this away. And, you know, there are a lot of teams that could say, if we had this guy, if we had that guy. I think Portland, and I think most Blazer fans would probably, although they're disappointed, I think most would say, well, we have our core of three guys, and all we really need now is another wing, because that's what this league is now. And if you look at some of these great teams, look at Golden State, You need as many perimeter playmakers as possible, guys that can do different things on both sides of the ball. And that's, to me, what, you know, think about if Portland had like a Bojan Bogdanović, another guy that can make shots, make a play. That's what they need. So I think they're pretty close, and I think most Blazer fans would probably point to that as opposed to the negative.
Talking to Jordan Schultz on the Mike Lupica podcast. All right, let's get to the team that won the series, because there's a lot to unpack, and we're going to spend a lot of today talking about the Golden State Warriors. And Jordan, I've been saying this all along. If this team gets broken up in some form or fashion, I will be sad. I love watching them play basketball. Steph Curry might be my favorite player of all time. Okay, so let's start here. Why is Draymond so much better, so much more liberated, and so clearly happier when Kevin Durant is not on the court?
I knew you were going there. So you would say that you see a different joy and a different energy?
Oh, 100%. I know none of the dynamics. I've only read what I've read this year. There is nothing that I have ever seen from Draymond Green, even though they've won titles together, that makes me think that he likes playing basketball with Kevin Durant.
Well, he lost the 23 pounds, and you were waiting for when that was going to start to show itself. He was their energizer bunny in game three. Terry Stotts said that, you know, it was his energy, his joy that really took them to, really allowed Golden State to win that game. And then in game four, another triple-double where he was outstanding. I don't know if it's – here's what I would pose to you. Is it possible that without Kevin Durant in the lineup, it simply allows Draymond to make more plays and that therefore you would say, okay, this is why he's happier?
Well, here's what I think. And when you were talking about how the Blazers may be one guy away, I agree with you. If it's the right guy, they may be one guy away. But in this sport, because of the wonderful, peculiar dynamic of a five-man sport, maybe sometimes you can have too many guys, okay? Now, I'm not saying they would have won the championships they won if Durant had never come to town. But guess what? I can't tell you that they wouldn't have either.
So I think with Draymond, he's so emotional and that he feels like he's one of those guys that Draymond's so emotional. He almost feels like he needs to be the underdog to have his success, because his whole story is one of, you know, overcoming whatever. Like he wasn't a huge recruit. He wasn't supposed to be this in the NBA. And everybody always doubts him. He's out of shape. He's too emotional. I think he, in his head, the more that he can be the underdog, the more that he can be someone that is overcoming odds, the better he plays. With Kevin Durant out of the lineup, he had an opportunity to, be the playmaker, make the plays late, be the guy that was the emotional leader. There's no way that I can say with any sort of a straight face that the Warriors are better off without Kevin Durant. I think he's the best player in the world. I think the difference is they play a different style of basketball, because with KD, they know that he can go out and bail them out anytime. He's just that good. There's very few people in the world who can do it. Draymond has more of an opportunity to make plays, especially late in games when they really need a pass or a steal or a charge, because he does a lot of the same things that Kevin Durant does, not from a scoring perspective, but just as a clutch playmaker. And I don't know if he has that without KD or with KD.
Talking to Jordan Schultz on the Mike Lupica podcast. All right. Kawhi is not going to be the great drama of the summer for me. Anthony Davis is not. Kyrie is not the great drama. I love Kemba Walker. I've watched him since he was a kid. He's not the great drama. Kevin Durant is the great drama of the summer. I think it throws shade on all these other guys, as talented as they are. Do you think he's going to leave? And are you buying into this notion that is picking up such momentum in New York that he's signed, sealed, and delivered to the Knicks?
No, I'm not buying into that he's signed, sealed, delivered. I don't know how anybody can say that when he's still playing and still trying to cover and come back from a playoff, from a significant injury. I will say that the argument that has been made I think that is the most relevant with Kevin Durant is, Mike, that he, what else can he do with the Warriors? You know, he's won two finals MVPs. He's won two titles. If they win another championship, hopefully he gets back on the floor and he plays well. Hasn't he done everything? Hasn't he maxed out the entire, idea of playing for the Warriors, which is winning, being successful, playing great? I mean, what else could he possibly do?
Okay, but let me take the counterpoint to that. Okay, they're now the first team since the Celtics in '66 in a different world in the NBA to go to five straight NBA finals. Okay,
yeah.
Let's have a blue sky conversation about Klay, Durant, Steph, Draymond, all these guys. If they stay together, here's what more they can do. They can do enough winning that they will. They can walk away and call themselves the greatest team of all time because they know how much harder it is to win an NBA title now than it was 55 years ago.
Do you think that would have more weight, let's say Kevin Durant winning 3, 4, 5 championships with the Warriors, than if he were to come to New York, resurrect the Knicks, and win a championship in the Mecca?
You think Kevin Durant, with his personality, as gifted as he is at this sport, and as unique a talent as he is at nearly 7 feet, or maybe he is 7 feet, do you honestly believe that he can go there and carry something the way LeBron has carried teams, no matter where he's been, at least until he got to L.A.?
Wow. I think like any superstar, he needs to have another great player or two around him. But just as LeBron had in Miami, do you think, here's what I would pose. What if he goes to New York, Kevin Durant, and gets Kyrie Irving and gets another big-time guy? I mean, isn't that enticing? Like, you know, hypothetically, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and I don't want to say Anthony Davis, but another really good player. Wouldn't that tell you, okay, well, now Kevin Durant is in the front seat or at least has an opportunity to win a championship?
This is, to me, is such a fascinating conversation because you know how there are climate change deniers? I'm a Kyrie Irving denier, even though he won a championship and was a great wingman to LeBron, okay? I don't want him on my team. I think they're going to be much better off in Boston when he's gone. Okay, having said that, it is a wonderful idea that you want to go somewhere and be the man. Because even after finals MVPs and two titles, you know that he's not the man with the Golden State Warriors. We've been reminded over the last 4 or 5 games who the man is with the goal. And it will always be his team, maybe for the simple reason that A, he came first. And secondly, he is one of the most dynamic players that I have ever seen in my life loving the NBA. But Jordan, it's one thing to think you can go and be LeBron somewhere, okay? Steph knows he is. Steph has proven it again. He, over the last 5 games, you saw this. He's saying, put it all on me. Let's go, okay? And if there's one signature moment of these playoffs, what is it? Oh, I know. After he gets zipped by the Rockets and scores 33 in the second half, 23 in the fourth quarter, and 16 in the last 4 minutes.
Wow. So wait, hold on. What are you asking? Could KD do that?
No, I'm asking you if you think that, and again, I do not know Kevin Durant. I have only observed him from afar, but I know how sensitive he is, okay? And in a form or fashion, a lot of these guys are sensitive. Do you think that he can go there? There's only a handful of guys that even you've ever seen in your life watching basketball who can say, put it all on me. Because as great as Kevin has been, it's never had to go all on him because he had number 30 on the court with him.
So I would say yes, because the evidence for me is the last two finals when Steph really struggled, especially last year against Cleveland. Like there were moments in that series where you had to wonder, what's wrong with Steph? Like that, we kept asking, like, is Steph right? Is he okay? You know, he wasn't the same guy.
No, we saw him do a flopperoo the one year the Cavaliers beat him in Game 7. You couldn't find him in the end.
Absolutely. And then I think with Kevin Durant, like the last 2 years in the finals, he has been the most dominant player, more so than LeBron. And he has been the guy that the Warriors went to, especially if you remember the closeout game last year when nobody could make a shot, he was absolutely sensational.
He was. And he is sensational. I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that was the game that he needed. That was the game that he needed to have, not only to help legitimize in a lot of fans' eyes that he is the best, not only the best player in the world, but the most important player for the Warriors. And also, I think it would show people that Kevin Durant can do that with a lesser team. So I think he can. I just don't think he's had the opportunity. You go to Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook was an alpha dog who always wanted the ball. In Golden State, he's had opportunities, but people are still going to say, well, this was a great team before him. And obviously, he's excelled during those opportunities. That's why I think going to a team like the Knicks, for example, if he were to resurrect them, that would probably do wonders for his career. And it would really help, I think, fans just see just how great he is.
Jordan Schultz, our guest on the Mike Lubega podcast. More of our conversation with Jordan right after this from our friends at Kronos. Kronos knows that many organizations maintaining a modern workforce of hourly, full, and part-time workers, for them, it can be a challenge. This is especially true for human resources professionals working hard to attract and retain all the best talent. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping on a single cloud-based platform. It's one specially designed to give HR professionals supporting a blended workforce a whole new level of confidence. With it, they have everything they need to tackle nearly any human resources challenge and are empowered to not just find and hire the right people, but to engage, motivate, and reward them every single step of the way. Learn more about Kronos HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them, because Kronos is at heart a people business, at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Talking to my friend Jordan Schultz on the Mike Lubega podcast. Okay, if Durant doesn't go to the Knicks, where do you think the next most logical landing point for him would be?
You know, I would pose the question to you. Wouldn't the Clippers be logical?
I think the Clippers are an awesome destination right now.
I agree. It's
what they've done in a year is they've
incredible.
Remade the image of the franchise. They made the playoffs. They had one of the great comebacks for all the coming back that the Warriors did on the Trailblazers. Look what the Clippers did to them. Doc and Lawrence Frank and Ballmer, everybody, they have remade that brand. And I think that is going to be a great destination. We've talked about this before. Who the hell would have thought a year ago that the Clips would be a better destination than the Lakers?
Yeah, and you said they remade the brand. What brand? I mean, they didn't even have a brand.
Well, their brand was that they were, you know, that they were going to be the team that challenged the Warriors, and that never happened.
Right, but they were like the stepbrother to the Lakers, you know, or the bridesmaid, whatever you want to say. And now with the dysfunction around the Lakers, Mike, with Magic, you know, stepping down, Jeannie Buss having no idea, not even speaking to him, Rob Pelinka basically being in the dark, and Magic saying, well, he backstabbed me. And then you have a situation where they're not going to hire a president. Rob Pelinka has been there 1 year. He had no experience. They are completely rudderless, the Lakers. I mean, they're, just because you have Cap and just because you have LeBron doesn't mean you're going to go out and get a star, as we saw last summer with Paul George. I would say that the Clippers, the way they play cohesively, you know, they have an identity. I think players, superstars especially, when you're signing with a new franchise, you want to make sure that your franchise has an identity and they're going somewhere. I don't know where the Lakers are going other than south, and I think the Clippers are going north.
It's amazing how fast you can get sideways in sports. And now it's 6 years out of the playoffs, and LeBron's still LeBron, and if he's healthy next year, I'm sure that there'll be a playoff team. I think Jeannie Buss is completely out of her depth. It's a reality series. It's a reality series. Kurt Rambis is supposed to be involved, and Mrs. Rambis is supposed to be involved.
I know.
And Phil Jackson, maybe his fingerprints. But it starts with this, okay? Whoever confused Rob Pelinka with Jerry West?
Oh, think about what has happened to the Lakers since Jerry West has left. And look what's happened to the Clippers.
Oh, there's a great old line that Bill Russell, one Oakland guy, said about Joe Morgan, the great baseball player. Russell once said about Joe, isn't it interesting how good teams seem to follow him around, okay? And isn't it interesting how good teams, look at the job that West even did when he went to Memphis for about 20 minutes.
I don't even know. I don't know if the Lakers are, I don't know if they know how bad it is. Like, they seem so tone deaf, that entire organization. And I think it was great that LeBron came to Frank Vogel's press conference. But I like Frank Vogel. I think he's a fine
actually
coach.
Do too. I think he's in an impossible situation. I actually think he's a very good basketball coach.
But he hasn't coached in 3 years. Indiana, where there's no drama, and now he goes to Tinseltown, where the entire organization is flooded with incredible dysfunction. And it's selfishly, as an NBA fan, I want the Lakers to be good because it's better for the league. It's better for the league when these temple franchises are really good. But right now, I don't see any situation where they're going to get much better.
When you look
at, they're not going to get a free agent. They're not going to get a marquee free agent.
You know, it'll take probably a team of historians to actually know what happened at the trade deadline with Anthony Davis. But boy, it sounds to me as if Anthony Davis, unless he's willing to play it out, he's not going to go to the Lakers in a trade. And then, you know, he has to wait another year. And who knows? Maybe he likes playing with Zion, or maybe he is another kid who is part of the AAUization of the NBA, who's just got it fixed in his mind that he wants to go play with the cool kids.
Right, right. Well, didn't you feel like Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, Clutch Sports, like, I felt like they overplayed their hand.
Oh, 100%. This was, if there's a villain in this, okay, it's Rich Paul and Clutch Sports, because they obviously convinced themselves that the aura of LeBron and the aura of the Lakers were going to make the New Orleans Pelicans just roll over for them, and it just didn't happen that way.
Not only did it not happen, but it backfired to the point where, as one NBA source told me, Anthony Davis was beloved. And now he's like, this is me using this word, it's almost like he's a pariah, because he was someone that everybody could relate to. He was this fun superstar. And I don't think Anthony Davis is a bad guy. I think quite the opposite. But I think he has been put in a situation that spiraled beyond probably his imagination. Because basically, when you go to New Orleans, at that point it was Dell Dempsey, who's now been fired. But when you go to New Orleans and say, we want out, you force their hand. Now they don't have the leverage to trade him. Now other teams can wait. Boston, obviously, can get in the mix now if they want. And it's just it's a really bad situation for the Pelicans to be in. But it was the situation was made that bad because of Anthony Davis and his representation. And as this source told me, like, with Davis, you know, fans loved him, and what kind of hit has that taken now? I mean, obviously we'll see moving forward, but it's a really odd place for him to be in, because he's a great player. He's a top five player, right, Mike?
Oh, he's I said this when I saw him at Kentucky, and he won Cal his one national championship. Okay, I believe he's a transformative player. Even the way the game is played now in the NBA, his skill set is thrilling. Okay, so now, let me ask you this, because we spent a bunch of time talking about Durant. Who would be a trade partner in for Anthony Davis that Clutch Sports is going to go along with, or are they so fixed on LA that they're going to send this young man back into an untenable situation in New Orleans?
Anthony Davis, I don't think there's – I shouldn't say anyway. I don't think Anthony Davis stays in New Orleans. I mean, in other words, I think the Pelicans are going to have to trade him.
Okay, so that – so I'm asking you, what? Yeah. Where's a trade partner that makes sense?
But the Lakers still make sense, but I don't know if David Griffin would feel like the Lakers have the package, whether it's Ingram and Ball or Kuzma, whatever. Boston makes sense, especially now, because you would think they would be – you think Danny Ainge would acquiesce to the Jason Tatum, you know, all that interest in him that he didn't want to give him up before. Maybe after this year he'd be willing. Jaylen Brown, I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Jason Tatum had – I don't know how much of it was Kyrie. What a weird playoff season he had.
I think a lot of it was Kyrie.
I think he likes playing with Kyrie about as much as Draymond likes playing with Kevin Durant.
But I think with Kyrie, you know, if you want to talk about a cancerous presence, I think he was that to the Celtics and all those young players. And you saw they didn't make the same progression that they made a year ago, especially in the playoffs. Look at Rozier, too. I mean, he was great last year. And then all of a sudden, as he said, nobody sacrificed more. And he said that in no uncertain terms. So I think Davis gets traded. If I had to say, Boston would probably make the most sense for both parties. Boston has a ton of picks, too. By the way, did you see that Zion Williamson said, this is a quote, he said, when I was little, I looked up to high school players, I'd want their autograph. Sometimes I couldn't get it and I'd just be hurt. I said when I grew up, I don't want to be like that. I want to be able to sign every kid's autograph. And then he goes to say, Anthony Davis and John Wall turned him down, so now he tried to sign everybody.
Is that what, so he specifically mentioned Davis and John Wall?
Yes. Isn't that just super?
It's fantastic. And I think that Zion, I'm hoping that there is nothing to all this stuff that, oh, maybe he'll go back to college. I don't think he understands what kind of damage he'd do to himself if he somehow acts as if New Orleans isn't good enough for him to go play basketball there.
No, I don't see that happening. That would be a catastrophe for his public image.
I mean, the Lakers thing, how fixed do you think Gail Benson is? She still owns the team on not doing business with the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis.
That's a good point. Probably not. She might be fixed on it, but when it comes to what David Griffin and Trajan Langdon want, if that's the best package, then you have to put your ego aside. I mean, I don't know if the Lakers are. Does anybody want to deal with the Lakers, though? Forget Gail Benson. Does anybody want to deal with the Lakers?
Well, that's okay. You're touching on something I wanted to ask you about today, because I believe that before Kevin Durant or Kemba or Kyrie or anybody considers seriously playing for the New York Knicks, you have to get in a room with James Dolan, Scott Perry, Steve Mills, and David Fizdale. And then ask yourself the question, after you sound them all out, do you really want to devote the next 4 or 5 or however many years of your prime to this organization? People are going to have to ask themselves the exact same question if they go sit in a room with Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and Frank Vogel. Think about where the Lakers once were and what I just said. Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, Frank Vogel. That's now the management structure of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Is that the worst 1-2-3 punch? Not necessarily Vogel, but Jeannie Buss and Pelinka because of the inexperience.
And Mills, and Scott Perry's a nice enough guy, and Steve Mills somehow has become part of the permanent government on 33rd Street and 7th Avenue in New York City. But who's going to go into the room with Mills, Perry, and Fizdale? Forget the owner, okay, who has presided over a biblical disaster in New York for 2 decades now. Who looks at any of those guys, Jordan, as the end of the star search?
Okay, so the Knicks are the worst. Sorry, I should be very clear. I said this repeatedly. I actually think it's the worst organization in sports. I almost discount them as a real organization, and just say the Lakers. You know, put the Lakers aside. The Knicks are the worst. I do think that Steve Mills and Scott Perry have at least some respect around the league. You know, there is some respect for them. There is zero respect for James Dolan. And I think in terms of that entire organization, because of the fact that it's New York, maybe some players give them a pass, but the Lakers, like, I think it's more enticing to go play in New York and be the guy, if you're, you know, i.e. KD, be the guy and resurrect them, than go to the Lakers, play for another dysfunctional organization, but also play in LeBron's shadow.
I don't think there's anything that did you think there's anything that Kevin Durant has ever said or done that indicates that he wants to play basketball with LeBron?
Oh no, I'm just saying as a whole.
Right.
I'm not even talking about KD now. I'm just saying as a marquee free agent. No, I think Kevin Durant. I think the Knicks and the Clippers, both of those teams make a lot of sense because he would be the guy, and he could bring success to franchises. Well, one in the Clippers that's never even been in the finals. And the Knicks, who haven't been in the finals in 20 years.
We're talking to my pal Jordan Schultz on the Mike Lubica podcast. All right, let's go to the Eastern Conference for a second, because I've seen nothing from either the Raptors or the Bucks that indicate that they're going to stand much of a chance against the Golden State Warriors. I want to be wrong. I always root for the best story, and I hope it's a great final. Is there a chance that the Bucks are going to kick themselves in 3 or 4 days that they let Sunday's game get away with some really sloppy decision making down the stretch?
No. I think the Bucks will take
the Bucks are better, right? We agree that the Bucks are simply a better basketball team than the Raptors.
Absolutely, they have the depth. I think they have an offense that has completely unlocked Giannis. He was awful in game 3, 5 of 16, 8 turnovers. But really, you know, the Bucks have not shot the ball well. And Giannis is one of the big keys for Giannis is he needs guys to make shots. I mean, it sounds simple, but because of the way they play, 4-out-1 in that patented Coach Bud system, when he's going to make the right basketball play, right? That's Giannis's game. He's going to kick out to Chris Middleton, even if Middleton's 1-for-9. He's going to find Eric Bledsoe if Bledsoe's 0-for-6. He's going to keep looking for guys. But the way that Toronto guarded him with Kawhi and then all these doubles and heavy shading, and that the adjustment will be more space and even less pick and roll in game 4. And I think Milwaukee handles Toronto. I actually think without Kevin Durant, Golden State would be very vulnerable against the Bucks.
Well, how bad do you think this calf injury is? And is he going to play the finals? I mean, he's got what? He's going to get at least a week now to hang out.
Yeah, I mean, the finals start the 26th regardless. So you're talking about another 5 full days. I don't know how serious it is. Because, you know, it looked like an Achilles. We were all speculating on Achilles. And then we saw calf. Then we saw 2 games. Then we saw 4 games. Then there was the reports that, well, he never really was going to play in the West Finals. I can tell you that having talked to Kevin, he desperately wants to play. Like, there is, you know, he really, really wants to play in the finals. And obviously there's no surprise there. That just makes me think that, I would hope he'd be ready for game 1. Now, if he can't play, the Bucks all of a sudden to me would have an advantage. Maybe the Warriors would still be a slight favorite, Mike, but the Bucks, because of their depth, their ability to score, they're number 3 number 1 in defensive efficiency, and they're also number 1 in paint points, again, paint field goal percentage. So I think the Bucks would be in a good spot without KD.
By the way, even though my friend Jordan is way more wired into the league than I am, the finals don't start till May 30th. So that's even
You're right.
So there's even more time for Durant. And they,
my,
you know, they need
Michael.
No. And they need Iguodala to be healthy because he is a huge part of this basketball team. And isn't it interesting that on a night when Giannis plays his worst game of the playoffs, he still walks away with 23 rebounds against the Raptors in Game 3. They shot so bad. Jordan, he was 5 for 16. Middleton, by the way, pick up the white courtesy phone, Chris, because they need you to play better than you're playing right now. He's 3 for 16, and Bledsoe's 3 for 16. Their three primary scorers were 11 for 48 in that game, Jordan.
Yeah, so what I would say, Bledsoe's been really bad in the series.
But at least they got Brogdon back, because Brogdon's a wonderful player.
Brogdon's terrific, and he's gonna get a ton of money this summer. I mean, I don't know if they're gonna be able to keep him, but they had 20 turnovers, the Bucks did, in that game, and they were still within a play or two of winning, which tells me that again, their depth, their ability to score. I like Milwaukee a lot. I really like that team. I spent some time doing a story on the Bucks earlier this year. There's a tremendous amount of cohesiveness within that organization. And obviously winning helps, Mike, as you know, but I think Milwaukee's in a great spot to close out Toronto in 5 or 6. 6 was my pre-series prediction. But I totally agree with you. They're a better team. The reason Middleton has struggled so much is he's been having to guard Kawhi, which is just a brutal assignment. And then he has to go score, which is a lot to ask.
Oh, no, against the Warriors, if they do make it out of this series, which we both think they will, he's got to pick it up. I mean, he's got to pick it up. And how concerned are you about the fact that Kawhi was clearly, as well as he played at both ends of the court, not 100% by the end of that game?
Well, I'm really concerned. And the minutes load that he has taken on, is nothing short of sensational. The guy's playing basically the most minutes of anybody in the league, and obviously he had the load management to set himself up for this. But, Mike, I'm very concerned because it felt like he was operating at, let's say, 80%.
I was going to say 80. I was going to say the same thing. That 80. Yep.
So, because there's no way. I just looking up. He played 52 minutes.
Yeah.
And obviously it was an OT game. They had to have it. But there's no way that they beat the Bucks or even win another game if he's not 100% or close to it. And so I'm very concerned. Just if I'm a Raptors fan, because there's no player more important to his team in this series than Kawhi with Toronto.
You're listening to the Mike Lubega podcast, and we're chatting with Jordan Schultz. More with Mr. Schultz in a moment, but first, this from Geico. Okay, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. But here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today. We're talking to my friend Jordan Schultz, one of the most talented young guys in the business. Okay.
Oh, stop. You're
yeah. Nice. Okay. Now listen to me. Because you know me, I hate to get in the Wayback Machine. I only use historical references when I think they're extremely pertinent to what we're seeing now. Okay. Before you were born, Earl the Pearl Monroe came to the New York Knicks to be in the same backcourt with Clyde Frazier. Okay. Nothing quite like this had ever happened in the NBA before, because Earl, who is one of my favorite people on the planet, not just one of my favorite players, one of my favorite humans, had been a huge star for the Bullets. Okay. It wouldn't have worked if Earl was not willing to sublimate his game.
Right.
Because as he said many times, I wasn't going to upset the apple cart. I knew it was Clyde's team. Okay. When we talked about the athletic character of Damian Lillard and how he said, okay, CJ, you drag us across the finish line against the Denver. Okay. Watching Steph Curry and knowing that he could play like this in the biggest moments and still look like the best closer in the sport, don't you think it took a great deal of athletic character on his part? Because I believe he did more to make this work with the Warriors than Kevin did. Not that Kevin has been anything other than a really good teammate, but it doesn't work if Steph is saying, oh my God, this is my team. What, it's still my ball.
So there's a stat that came out today or that I saw this morning that says it's the most points per game in a four-game sweep in NBA playoff history. And Stephen Curry is number one.
Yeah.
Consistently getting 30-plus. Just some of the names on that list, Shaq, LeBron, Kobe, Kareem. It's sensational. You're saying that Steph, given the magnitude of his stardom, he has sacrificed the most.
I think without question he has. We have never heard a complaint out of him. We haven't heard him say a word. And again, there have been so many times, as you correctly pointed out, when Kevin picked him up, okay?
Right.
When Kevin was the one dragging his team across the finish line. All I'm saying, and I've quoted Jeff Van Gundy to you before about Steph. It's one of my favorite lines about the modern NBA. He said, Steph Curry got over himself a long time ago.
Wow.
And when Kevin went down, and remember, it's now that they've swept the Blazers, Jordan, it's easy to forget that they're in Houston for Game 6, no Kevin Durant, trying to stay out of a Game 7 in which Steph knows as well as anybody that anything can happen. He gets shut out in the first half and then does what he... That, to me, was a Jordan-like... Not a Jordan Schultz-like performance, a Michael Jordan-like performance in Game 6 against the Rockets, which has springboarded them to where they are now.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the great, great playoff performances. He averaged 36.5 in this series, which was, again, just sensational. I think with Steph, I think he has sacrificed. I think him and Kevin have both sacrificed. Steph made the sacrifice in the sense that it was his team before. Now, the reason that this is able to happen with Kevin, I'm not talking about right now, with Steph playing solo or without Kevin. I'm saying the reason they've had this success with Kevin, Clay, Steph, Draymond, is because when they all recruited him, and Steph was the one that said, you come in, this can essentially be your team now. You know, we can share that pressure. And I think as a result of it, the healthiness of this locker room, even though it's been debated at times, I think has remained, for all intents and purposes, really, really strong because they've been through so much together. And Steph, to your point, Mike, has allowed KD to be that guy. And in this situation, now Steph is reminding everybody that he still is one of the best players in the world, in case you forgot. So I think there's a lot to be said about Steph and KD both allowing each other to be great. And, man, I just hope he comes back for the finals, because I'm telling you, if the Bucks are right, they can beat him. And I want to see everybody be at full strength.
Do you think there is any possible scenario where Kevin Durant remains with the Golden State Warriors after this season?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I think it's possible. Yeah, I think it's possible. If you're talking about someone that, he's 30 years old, he'll turn 31 at the beginning of next year. Why don't we say hypothetically that they win 3 finals? So then he could put himself in the pantheon of, well, Magic won 5, Jordan won 6. So if he were to win 2 more, he could surpass.
He wins as many as Kobe. Yeah, he wins as many as Kobe did.
Right, right. So I think it's possible in that sense. I do think Kevin... I think he's a sensitive guy, and I think that's what makes him relatable, considering his stardom. And I think there's a lot to be said about going somewhere else and resurrecting a franchise. I keep using that word, but that's what it would be in New York, and that's what it kind of would be with the Clippers. So how about you?
Yeah, I the basketball fan in me, hope he stays right where he is, because as I've told you, I take such enjoyment watching them play basketball.
Yeah.
I always thought the Spurs played a beautiful game of basketball at their very best. The Warriors play a beautiful game of basketball. Bird, Mikhail Parrish, back in those days, they played a beautiful game of basketball up against a beautiful game of basketball with Magic and Worthy and Kareem. This, what I hope people appreciate what they're seeing. You know, I've always said this about Joe Torre's Yankees. Winning four World Series in 5 years, where you got to win 11 in October, okay, and 12 if you have to play a wild card game, is actually more impressive than the Yankees of 49 through 53 winning five in a row, where all you had to do was win the league and then go to the World Series, okay?
Yeah.
These Warriors, who they've beaten, and who they've beaten is a pretty damn good Houston Rockets team. And oh, by the way, LeBron James, who might be the greatest all-around player of all time. I was asking Ryan about this yesterday, and he's not there yet. I think that they have faced, across the board, a tougher level of competition than Michael did when the Bulls were winning their six, okay?
Absolutely.
And so... I, you know, my sister lives in San Francisco. She loves the Warriors, and I got no skin in this game. I just love watching the Warriors play. I'm glad I lived at the time to see the Patriots do what they've done in the NFL. So just as a fan on the other side of the country, I'm just hoping that they do find a way to keep the band together. And let me ask you this. Is Klay Thompson ever going to find a better job than he has right now?
No, I think Klay is in many ways, you know, he's such a wild card because, you know, he's always been like second or third fiddle, and he's a great player. And so if he were to go somewhere else and be the guy, you know, how much success would he have? I think he'd still be really good, but this is the perfect role for him, considering you have a total maestro in Steph Curry that is they're always looking for Klay. They run a ton of stuff for Klay. He doesn't always have to take big shots, although he can, and he does sometimes. He's such a quiet assassin. That to me, it's not more interesting than Kevin, but it's really interesting because Klay has been such a focal point of this team during this run. And I think, I think it's one of the great stories in sports, to your point, and if they were to stay together with Kevin, you know, who knows how many they could win.
In the same time in sports, we have the greatest football operation of all time with the New England Patriots, and we're getting to watch one of the great, great basketball operations of all time. You're right, okay? Over this last stretch of time, Kevin Durant's been the best player in the world. But I will tell you this, Jordan, there's never been a player who I love watching play more than I love watching Steph Curry play basketball.
More than Michael. Michael, to me, is the greatest player ever.
No, Michael, you know my thing on Michael, okay? If I had to break down his game against LeBron's, LeBron does more things well than Michael does. But Michael, if I had to pick one of them to play for my life, I would pick Michael Jordan every single day of the week. He was the main event of my sports writing career. I saw him. Yeah. I was there when he made the shot to beat Georgetown when he was at Carolina. I saw all those great Knicks-Bulls series. I saw him hang in the air longer than a human ought to be able to hang in the air that night at old Chicago Stadium when he's playing the Lakers, when he goes up and under, and somehow he's still in the air to make that basket against the Lakers. No, you're right. I stand corrected. But Steph Curry just, he does give me that kind of enjoyment because when he comes over half court, you better be paying attention because that ball could be going up anytime soon.
Well, he's changed the game in that sense. That's, you know, Michael changed the game. Great players change the game. Steph Curry has helped alter the style of basketball. I mean, he's the one that's in many ways shepherding all these three pointers and the style of offense is spreading the floor. The fact that a point guard needs to be a scorer and not just a passer. I mean, a lot of that is Steph. And I think Steph has, just like the Patriots, to your point about winning with Steph, Michael, Steph has normalized so many different things that never would have been possible even 10 years ago. The three-pointer being one of them. And I think as a result, we have to look at Steph differently because of the way he's changed the course of basketball.
All right. My last three questions, you can field them in any order from my pal Jordan Schultz. Okay. One, how many games in the finals for the Warriors if Durant doesn't play? How many if he does play? And will you be given pause if the Raptors win game two and even this thing? Game four, excuse me.
Okay. So, no, I won't give him pause. How many games? What was the first one?
If it's the Bucks and the Warriors and Durant doesn't play, how many games in the NBA Finals?
Bucks in seven, they close it out at home.
Wow. So you don't think the Warriors can beat the Bucks without Kevin Durant?
I think they can. I think I would give the edge to Milwaukee, a slight edge. I think I would. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. It's crazy.
You know what? Jeff Van Gundy's been telling me all year that he thought the NBA champion was going to come out of the East. So you're in lockstep with him. Jordan Schultz, pull-up pod with CJ McCollum, the Daily Wager on ESPN. The other show's called The Boardroom?
Yeah. Listen, Mike, it is a real pleasure. But before I go, I want to get your pick.
Oh, I'm so down on the Warriors. I think they win with or without Kevin Durant. I think what started in the second half of Game 6 against the Rockets, they've caught this wave. They've remembered exactly who they were before Durant came, and all he can do is make them better in the finals. I think they might win in five, or my friend Mr. Ryan calls an easy six.
I like it. With Kevin, yeah, I could see that.
All right, listen, we will talk soon. Now we got to get you to come on the back on the Sports Reporters podcast, which Compass is already doing now, okay?
Sounds great, buddy. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, I always love this. Jordan Schultz on the Mike Lubega podcast. You can tell we just celebrated. Tyler, how many years have we been doing this? 37 years now? Wait, no.
Yeah, something like that, three.
But you can tell who we like because they're the guests that we keep bringing back. It's why we're on two times a week. We love Jordan Schultz. We love having these conversations. We're so happy that the Sports Reporters is under the same umbrella. Now you can find us on Stitcher and Spotify and all those other places. We will be back on Thursday with a new Mike Lubega podcast and a new Sports Reporters podcast. Double duty. Talk to you then.
The Mike Lubega podcast is produced and distributed by Compass Media Networks in conjunction with Hiltzik Creative. For iPhone users, go to the podcast app and search the Mike Lupica podcast. Click on the Mike Lupica podcast icon and subscribe. For non-iPhone users, you can listen on Google Play Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your preferred podcast platform.